really, if you're going to put a mic in front of me at a karaoke, I'm going to give you my best Macy Gray impersonation.
Very nice. Well, Fran, thank you for coming on the show. I hope to have you on multiple times.
Thank you. I'd love to come back anytime.
Stay tuned for Sound Effects.
This is Sound Effects, a radio playground, a compendium of audio theater, comedy, and the audio arts. With your host, Jerry Stearns. And a good evening to you. I am the aforementioned Jerry Stearns, and tonight on Sound Effects, we have a tale of a dragon. Now, a little later on, we're going to hear from a recent episode of France's Audio Acoustical Poetical Society. That's different. But we'll start off with this story. It comes from 19 Nocturne Boulevard, which is mostly written and produced by Julie Hoverson. And now, this came out before there was a Game of Thrones television series, so it's different than that. It's more of a medieval, almost fairy tale kind of story with dragons and a damsel in distress and knights to the rescue. But, of course, as we often find, there's way more to it than that. 19 Nocturne Boulevard, you can find more at 19nocturneboulevard.net. Spell it all out. So the story is mostly about this creature. That's the center of it. So, of course, the title has to be simple. It's just called Dragon.
Come on, eat the lovely seeds.
They're as deaf as you are, you old boot.
Chick, chick, chick. At least they're not as tough and as old as you.
Did you bite yourself again? I told you should never talk.
Greetings.
Who's that there? I'm a bit nearsighted.
I am the... Is he going to give this up?
You should have seen a wedding night. Who are you?
I am the great Humber Dragon. Fear me.
I am.
Shouldn't you be running?
I am.
In circles.
He's got one leg shorter than the other.
And you?
Can't run. Bad feet. Why are you here anyway?
I have come to your village to demand tribute.
We don't have any.
Tell your village that if they do not send me a maiden this coming full moon, I will lay waste to everything in sight.
I don't think anyone will believe the likes of us.
I could burn your house down. Would that help?
No. But you can't take out that shed over there. I've been telling them for years it's got termites. And wasps.
Wasps? Very well.
If there really was a dragon threatening our fair hamlet, why did it not eat you, you old goat?
That's just it. The dragon is demanding a maiden. Something ripe and juicy and pure. Not an old piece of gristle like me.
Oh, my gracious lord. Sire, you are most welcome. Welcome. See, very welcome to our charming little hamlet.
Is this Swordsville?
Swordvale, sire. beautiful Swaldvale.
Bit of a dump.
Well, we've had a bad year.
And a dragon.
Shut up. Ignore her. She's mad. Yes, that's it. Mad. Completely mad. Mad as a wasp in a bottle.
Dragon? So, it has come here.
No. No dragon. At least no proof of a dragon.
Our shed.
No proof.
Oh, well then. I suppose I should go.
What?
Not much good hunting dragons in a town that doesn't have one, is there?
Ah!
He was gorgeous. I swear his tunic was the finest velvet in the land.
And his hose. Ooh. You were looking at his hose?
Who asked you? His hose just clung to his muscular legs. Oh!
And did you notice his codpiece? Embroidered in gold. I could tell by the way it glinted when he walked. Not that I was staring.
Do you require anything further tonight, Ursula?
No, but...
Yes, miss?
I want my very best gown ready to wear tomorrow. The one I wore to the Harvest Festival last year.
Are you sure? You've, plumped up a bit since then.
Shh! Besides, she's got all night to let it out.
The juice of the
moon. So.
Father must have half the town. Careful, careful.
Here, let me.
Who?
Let me. Where do you need to take these?
Kitchen.
Oh, finally.
Someone more put upon than myself.
It's not usually that bad. Pays well. And I get their cast-offs. You think an innkeeper's daughter would have such finery else?
I guess I never thought about it.
You're not the first. Would you like something to drink? No. As a reward for saving me from tripping, or worse, dropping Ursula's best gown to the unswept floor.
Oh, thank you. I would love something.
Don't expect this all the time, and don't tell anyone. Word gets out that I'm a pushover and...
But you're not.
No. Just because I'm the innkeeper's daughter, people think...
Oh, I can tell you're not that kind of girl. The way women throw themselves at me master, I have seen quite enough to know.
Oh, that's who you are. No one said about him having retainers.
He's sort of, stuck with me. And I'm not, shall we say... A bright and shining example of manhood like he is.
He's embarrassed to have you around because you're,
ugly. It's all right, you can say it. I'm used to it. So he keeps me off on errands all day long. Out of sight.
Why do you follow him then?
I'm his squire. Sworn to him when we were both very young. And before he decided that the only thing more important than his appearance is his success with, the ladies.
Huh. I noticed. He was all they could talk about.
His hair, his eyes, his noble brow.
His codpiece.
Oh!
But it's still...
I can wear a cloak.
In this heat?
You're just jealous. I fill this dress out so nicely.
Like a jug of wine fills a goblet.
Now, Kate, my dearest friend, it is rumored that you were speaking with the squire of Sir Lucius.
Lucius.
He seems luscious to us. Did his squire say anything?
Does he like blondes?
Does he like girls who can sing?
Maybe play a hand or two of cards?
I didn't ask. We didn't talk about him at all.
Oh, really? You were together alone in the kitchen at night for an awfully long time, not to talk of anything interesting.
What are you implying?
Nothing at all. I mean, after all, how could a crooked little man like that have any allure for a woman, even a commoner, when his princely companion is in the same county?
Maybe she was taking what she could get, saving herself from being chosen for the dragon.
In the face of the, demand by the dragon, we are very lucky to have right here among us a renowned dragon hunter.
Oh. Proud.
And all drinking. Can't talk.
Greetings, my good people. And such lovely, lovely ladies. But this is not a time for frivolity. For there is a terrible threat to your town. And you know what it is. The great Umba Dragon has come out of the hills to terrorize you.
Kill us, please! I cannot.
Hold! Let me finish. I cannot kill him yet. Yet. One little word. Three little letters. And yet, it spells doom for someone.
Yes?
The only time the Umba Dragon is vulnerable, the only time it can even be hurt, let alone killed, is...
Yes?
Right after it has sated itself on the flesh of a maiden.
Can I help at all?
Oh, would you? Here, take these. To that table with the man in plaid. I hope you don't mind taking that. He tried to tip me.
Oh, I'm sure I'm safe.
People! Nine times we have been this close to catching the dragon, and nine times he has evaded us.
You're not very good, are you?
Yes, good mother. We have been plagued with the worst luck possible. But I have a very good feeling about this time. 10 is a lucky number.
So is 7. Or 3.
Now, I must speak to the council alone.
9? Really?
Can we not talk about it here?
A girl? Just one girl? That's not so terrible.
And he has never returned to the same town again. Not in the entire time I've been chasing him.
Why haven't you killed him?
It is not to my shame that I've failed, but to the dubious credit of the towns I've helped.
Eh? Makes sense.
Sire, history tells us that if the great Umba Dragon is confronted and is not killed, his wrath will lay waste to everything within a day's ride.
It does? Oh, yes, of course.
So, each of these towns, well, they kept me from fighting him. Some even resorting to trickery. One town changed all the calendars by a day, so I wouldn't know when the date had come until it had passed.
Clever. I mean, diabolical.
But I'm sure you wouldn't be so underhanded. Not in a clean, upstanding town like you have here. Let us speak instead of the choosing of a maiden who will give her life to save her home and people.
Oh, I'm surprised you're still awake.
Oh, I'm too tired to sleep. And Father doesn't like anyone around when he sees to the money.
May I?
Certainly.
What are you doing?
Shelling peas.
At this time of night?
My hands don't care to be idle.
Can I have a few to help?
Help yourself.
They'll never let him fight, you know.
What?
My master. No one ever does. They're too worried about the dragon's retribution. They pay him off, trick him, drug him. Anything to have the killing end with just one maiden.
That's still one maiden too many.
Don't I agree? But weighing the risks,
They always have to look out for the welfare of the town.
People are frightened.
Of the dragon.
If not the dragon, then something. There's always something to fear. My father fears lean times and hides money he thinks I don't know how to find. The farmers fear drought, and the girls fear not finding a good husband.
You don't seem afraid of much.
You have to have something to lose to be afraid.
Lucius, dawn's coming. Are you stirring?
No.
You should take it slower, Sawyer.
Come back when you're funnier.
Three more days, then we move on.
Feast or famine. Always feast or famine.
Oh, if it was feast all the time, you'd be a cripple. And you know it.
You haven't been doing too badly yourself. Hail, friend.
The innkeeper's lovely daughter.
Oh, no, I don't do that. Not until the dragon is no more.
Definitely bruised.
Was it worth it?
Oh, yes. Very much so.
Why? Because he smiled at you across a crowded room?
No.
He is such a noble gentleman.
I don't know. There's something about him.
And he is seeking a wife, you know.
Yes, someone from outside the court circles. Someone fresh and genuine.
Yes, but he cannot marry until...
Until the dragon is defeated. How do you know all that? Who told you?
Why, he did, while we were alone.
Alone? How could you have been alone with him?
Last night, after he and Father finished talking, he retired to the guest bedroom.
What? What did you
do?
Suffice to say that I am no longer in danger from the dragon.
Neither am I.
I'll take my leave.
Please, gentlemen, keep it down. This is not something for other ears.
I have a servant who's ugly enough she might still be chaste. But I paid 2 groats to her mother for her service this year, and it's barely spring. What about my money?
The town might be able to see its way.
And the girl's mother? What does she get?
Shut up, Bizon. You're only here to report on the gossip on the town girls.
I think that if she got 2 groats for 1 year of her daughter's life, she should get something for the remainder of it.
Oh, we'll put up a little plaque, something in the town square, in the girl's memory. That will be better than...
And money? Not the one who has none.
Fine, we'll pass over my servant. Who else is there to consider?
I have a cousin who has a daughter.
Alexandra? Oh, no.
How dare you?
She came to me for hypes. He's already gone with child. Best marry her off. There's still a little bit of time before it's too obvious.
Who is left, then?
There are your daughters, sire.
No.
What?
They were looking out for your best interest, Lord Mayor.
And my daughters.
I think we're going to have a lovely crop of fair-haired babies come winter.
Oh...
Another busy night.
Yes. Disaster makes for good ale sales.
The council met here again.
They're still upstairs.
Still? They're taking longer than most.
Longer for what?
To decide how much money to give me Lord to go away.
Oh, and one of us will still give her life for worms like that?
You'd best be careful.
No one can hear us.
Oh, you mean about being chosen?
The mayor's daughters have already ensured their own safety. I suppose I could do the same. Throw myself on the mercy of your lord. He seems to have plenty to go around.
Please, don't.
Don't?
Oh, not with him.
Huh. I would never. Besides, if every girl in town leaps on your lord, as I'm sure they would given the chance, who would be left for the dragon?
You would go, if they chose you.
If they chose me, and chose not to fight, why should I ever want to stay?
They're choosing a sacrifice tomorrow.
Someone has to go.
Not I.
Nor I.
You already made your sacrifices.
What was that?
Nothing.
Kate's still eligible, aren't you?
That's no one's business but mine.
Kate? Really? I always thought...
Leave off.
But Kate is our friend. We must do something to protect her.
You don't have the parts.
Oh, yes. We must come up with some way.
Don't worry, Kate. We'll make sure you're safe.
I can care for myself.
But we can't. How could we ever do without you?
Who's that there? I'm a bit nearsighted.
I was hoping, thinking, you know, about preparations to help one sleep.
You're not sleeping well. Why not? You haven't any daughters.
I've been restless and wakeful.
That's going around, too.
Going around?
No matter. You fear the dragon's wrath and want something to help prevent.
Yes. No, wait. No!
I'm just about out of sleeping draw. You need to be together on this. If you dose that poor boy too heavily, he may never awaken again.
It's up on the high shelf.
Be careful. The room is very dark.
Oh, no. They can't waste a candle on this, or be bothered to walk a flight of stairs themselves. What? Hello? What are you doing?
They won't open it, you know.
You.
What must you think of me? I would never take a woman against her will.
Then why are we here?
They were determined. I knew that if I declined, they'd simply find someone who would. Besides, my squire would never forgive me. He seems rather taken with you.
I know.
Everything all right?
Just dandy. Oh, yes, darling. Darling?
What?
Make a noise or something.
Like what?
You know, like, ooh.
Ooh?
Oh, I suppose that'll have to do.
No, peas tonight?
No.
What are you doing?
Sewing.
Oh, you can see that. I mend things myself. A lot.
I'm making poultices.
Ah.
Of poison.
Ah?
Tomorrow I'll kill the dragon since everyone else in town has turned coward.
You'll what? What do you plan to do?
I'm going to stuff my clothes with poison poultices, so when it eats me, it will die.
Don't! Oh, don't.
Someone has to do something.
Please. They won't let you. And you might get hurt.
If they let me, I'll probably get a little chewed up also.
No, I mean, things are not what they seem.
Like what?
I cannot say.
Well, that's kind of useless, isn't it?
It's not my choice. I literally cannot say.
Can you knock once for yes and twice for no?
I don't think so. I really, really wish I could.
I appreciate it anyway.
Oh!
Here, hold this while I stitch.
Yeah.
Is everything prepared?
Oh, yes. Last night I slipped a sleeping powder into the night's ale.
No, I did.
It's I also.
Oh, no. We'd best look in and see if he's still breathing.
Even I can hear that.
Well, yes, but...
Papa!
Out of the way. Father, Kate is missing.
Why are you two wandering the halls in your dressing gowns? It's unseemly.
Nonsense. Two such lovely girls cannot offend.
They cheer up the place.
Old coot, we can't dress ourselves, Father, and Kate is nowhere to be found.
Girls?
No one has seen her since last night.
She was with the hunchback squire. Ooh, maybe they elope.
Girls?
Nonsense. She's not that stupid.
They're very passionate, aren't they?
But he's missing, too.
He's gone every day. Who wants to see such an ugly runt in full daylight anyway?
Good to see young women concerned for their fellows.
To you, most men are better in the dark.
Gals!
How does one call a dragon? Hello? Dragon!
It's not quite dawn yet.
How could you... But I...
Drugged my ale? I've smelled that stuff often enough when people try it on me master.
Oh. Don't try to stop me.
Don't worry. There's no point now.
Why? And why are you taking off your doublet?
Ah, now there's the sun.
What are you doing, vermin? Herman?
Drat! There goes another
pair of hose.
Herman?
Hold on. This isn't as easy as a...
Looks. Damn it, come on.
Damn tail's always the worst.
I'm completely lost.
You came to meet me.
But I thought...
Hold on. There's some people coming.
Aren't you going to eat me?
Oh, I know what you're stuck with. Don't go anywhere. You have the maiden?
Yes, we... Wait. Aren't you my daughter's maid? What are you doing here?
I came to be the sacrifice.
Oh, well, we have one. You can run along. Thank you.
No! She's just a child.
You'd be amazed how hard it is to find out.
Shut up! Someone must declare the sacrifice.
It's me, damn it.
But Ursula and Gwendolyn...
can learn to dress themselves, sir. Take that child home.
Do you witness this, good sir?
Witness what? That this woman is clearly out of her tiny peasant mind?
That she's here of her own free will.
Sir Lucius, you should...
you build up a tolerance pretty quickly to these sleeping drafts. But it's a good excuse to sleep alone once in a while.
Oh, can we just finish this?
Right, Mr. Mayor. Just say she's here by her own choice, and you can go on your merry way.
Why?
All will be revealed.
Fine. She's here by her own insane choice. You, child. Oh, right. Sorry. Do you know how to let out a dress?
No.
Come along. You'll learn.
It's not working. It's supposed to work.
We must have missed something.
Does anyone care to explain?
Oh, don't try and tell me I have to devour anyone.
Yes, don't. At least not until you've explained what's going on.
But you expect me to know?
I watched your Squire Herman turn into a dragon, and now you act like this is not a surprise?
Ah, that part. Yeah.
I'm... curse.
I can guess that.
I'm a dragon by day.
Tell me something I don't know.
I'm not going to eat you.
Okay, that's...
He never eats anyone.
Really?
It's supposed to end when a girl willingly sacrifices herself.
when she comes to save the lives of others. Why isn't it working?
Maybe you should ask whoever gave it a curse.
Oh!
Where did you come from?
Sorry. Oh.
I've been sitting here the whole time. Now, if this is a curse, someone must have cursed you.
My fairy godmother.
What did she do, barf out a best wand?
No, I didn't really do anything. She said it was something my forefathers had done.
What's her name, anyway?
Philomela Kumbaya.
Yeah, that's a fairy name. Give me a minute.
We'll be back with the dragon after this brief pause.
You're listening to Community Radio, Fresh Air Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and online around the world at KFAI.org. It's where community grows. But I bet you already knew that.
It's 163 yards to the front of the green. He's chosen an 8-iron for this rather difficult shot. Oh, camera made some noise in the gallery there. He's stepping back. So let me remind you that you're listening to Sound Effects, a radio playground on Fresh Air Community Radio. He starts his swing.
Welcome back to Sound Effects. I'm Jerry Stearns, and tonight we're listening to Dragon, a medieval tale from 19 Nocturne Boulevard. There's dragons and knights and fair maidens and everything, but it's still not quite adding up, so let's go back and find out what the truth is in Julie Hoverson's Dragon.
Kate, you're not still going to try and poison me, are you? That was a really good idea, by the way.
You are a maiden-eating dragon.
No, he's not.
What do you mean?
Well, he just drops all those poor kids off at his mother's castle as new maid servants.
I figure they won't exactly want to go home after the town threw them to the... me.
Well, that's not so bad then, but...
Got it.
What?
Who summons me? I'm working on my wall.
Godmother?
Herbert?
Herman?
Right. You were always my favorite. Ta-ta!
Wait, you're supposed to, the curse.
Curse? Oh, so, did you find a nice girl?
What?
Yes. Just say yes.
Yes?
Good. Never did like your mother. Have a good time. Bye.
No. You have to tell me why you did this.
Oh, do I?
Please?
Polite as always. Just a moment. It's my tile.
What is she doing?
She said she's building a wall.
My guess is mahjong.
Right, I'll make this quick. Your father and his father and his father before him all married gorgeous numbskulls. I wanted you to find a girl with character. Is this her? Well, doesn't hurt that she's rather pretty, too. Now I really have to...
She didn't even break the covers before she...
Oh, well, that's over then.
Oh.
Oh.
Here, sire.
Oh, thank you.
So she thinks we're going to get married?
Would you?
Well, since you don't actually eat people...
Oh, not a one. Ever.
And you shall a mean pea.
Is that some kind of euphemism?
Would you?
Yeah, okay. You could always come work in the inn. I mean, if the whole squire thing doesn't work out.
Oh, about that.
Wait a minute. Why would a squire have a fairy godmother anyway?
Oh, that. You want to?
Oh, no. This one's all yours. I'll get the horses.
Ah, I'm the knight. He's the squire.
Really?
And you wonder why we switched places.
Come on!
I see your point. What do we, you, tell the town?
About getting married.
About the dragon.
You poisoned it, and it flew away to the mountains to die.
You're actually gonna give me credit for killing it?
Oh, reminds me, you might want to get rid of those bags.
Nah, I need something to throw at any passing fairy godmothers.
Tonight's story, Dragon, was written by Julie Hoverson. In tonight's production, Kate was Kimberly Poole of Warped Space. Herman was Alan H. MacDonald of Afterlives. Sir Lucius was Gareth Bowley. The old farmer was Renaud LaBeouf, and the old woman was Glenn Hallstrom. The mayor was Master Payne. Ursula was Julie Hoverson. Gwendolyn was Gwendolyn Jensen Woodard of Gypsy Audio. The elders were Jeff Pittman and Jeff Taylor. The girl was Melissa Pang, and additional voices were provided by Renaud LaBeouf, Megan Lane, and Steve Guy, with a special guest appearance of Mer Lafferty as Philomela Kumbaya. Music for this episode was by Celestial Eon Project. It's available on Jammendo and is used under a Creative Commons license. The cover art for this episode was by Brett Coolstock. Sound effects were found on soundsnap.com and sonomic.com. Sound and mastering was done by Julie Hoverson. The opening theme was by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. All persons, places, and events in this story were fictitious or used in a fictitious manner and are not meant to reflect any persons, places, or things, living, dead, or undead. This presentation is copyright 2010 to Julie Hoverson and Reality Productions.
That was Dragon, a medieval times story by Julie Hoverson, who's from Seattle. For a number of years, she was writing and producing original works of audio theater, mostly science fiction and fantasy stories, occasional horror stories, for 19 Nocturne Boulevard, her podcast. And she had connections to lots of other people doing audio drama podcasts, so they would tend to trade and be performers in each other's plays. That's why you heard somewhere she, in the credits, where she listed what podcasts the other person was connected to. You can find more of her works at 19nocturneboulevard.net. And you got to spell out both words, nocturneboulevard.net. Now, we're going to go back into more older work here, but it's older music. This was all recorded on those really little cylinders, Bakelite cylinders, back in the turn of the 20th century, give or take a few years. And they can be found at a University of California, Santa Barbara, in their library. They have a collection of them. This one is a piece by Brian Price. It's from a recent issue of the Audio Acoustical Poetical Society's website. And it's about it's about the past. It's called The Portrait Painter's Youngest Daughter.
My favorite place along the brook is the Broken Tree Bridge. The sun on the back of my legs. I wave to the geese. Thank you. A raccoon crosses the broken tree bridge. A turkey crosses. A porcupine. I cross it. The portrait painter portrayed his children wearing wings.
It is difficult to not to see the simple eastern gray squirrel as at least somewhat human. He is a thief and enjoys denying the fact.
Sit still, Father says. I am sitting still. You're not, Father says. I am, I say. I'm sitting still.
Lift the wings a little higher.
The wings itch.
Look out to the middle distance.
How far is that? Anyone who is anyone wants my father to paint their picture. Harmony and tone, sweeping strokes and solvents. It says here in this May 8, 1898 article in the Examiner that Father's ideal woman embodies the Protestant winged Madonna, symbolizing purity, transcendence, and a timeless presence that stands apart from corruption and modernity. She lounges and is languid and unreachable.
I'm reachable. I'm just in the woods.
My father often longs for the Renaissance. My older sister is a goddess. When she touches a cloth, it does not crease. When she crosses a brook, it does not ripple. She's transcendent, exalted, manifest. The finest shade cannot be seen. It can only be felt. I listened for the first drops of rain. The last leaf will not fall and will continue to not fall until February. A young lady should exhibit exceptional comportment. The mind should be exercised vigorously. The portrait is so beautiful, Father. Is she the ideal woman? No, he said. She's just rich. Paint the heiress, the duchess, the nouveau riche. Sometimes he painted with real feathers. He rubbed the feathers across the canvas.
May I wear the wings out of doors? May I wear the wings to school?
To truly learn to truly draw, to render nature, one must first notice that many creatures survive by not being seen. Crossed the broken tree bridge wearing my wings. I did it in bare feet to keep my balance.
Sometimes he rubbed sand into the canvas. Other times, moss. Here, take this.
The brightest orange salamander crossed my path. I imagine I'm small enough to be overtaken by a shadow. And it makes me smile.
Here, take this. What would an angel desire?
Crossing the meadow, I held my sister's hand. Am I the ideal woman? I asked. I was 5. Yes, yes. You are the ideal woman, she smiled.
The portrait is so beautiful, Father. Is she the ideal woman? No.
The Virgin leads the children along the dappled edge of the gilded field.
These classic skies and visual rhythms most honestly capture all of the world that is not grotesque.
Father was offered a telephone. He asked, why would he want to hear anything that quickly?
I can paint the crunch of leaves. I can paint the call of crickets. Just a little angel, one of the sitters said. Yes, I am. And I can cross the broken tree bridge walking backwards. Father asked me what I thought I was doing standing half naked in the stream. I said I was only trying to determine whether I was the ideal woman. Then he asked me what I was holding in my hand. A frog.
I've seen the future. Videos, airplanes, and Pop-Tarts.
The boys can't catch me. The girls can't keep up. I climb to the summit of Mount Mondanoc on New Year's Day. The virgin in summer green, the virgin in cracked archaic blue. Am I cherub? No. Am I Uriel? No. Am I Ariel? No. You are a mouse. My little mouse, Father says. Come here, my little mouse. I'm not a mouse. I'm the ideal woman.
A mouse with wings is a bat.
The damp green of summer, ancient blue. The ideal woman is lost in thought, in memory. In the woods, around here somewhere. Unlike Father's constant portrayals of bejeweled, laconic young women of means and grand dames, I paint mice, shrews, and the occasional crow. They seem just as exalted as any other creatures.
When I'm older, I will become despondent. I will someday, in the not-too-distant future, become modern.
They cut a road up the side of the hill. The first automobiles arrived and parked and blocked my father's favorite view of Monadoc. He took his patron's wife's portrait and smashed it against a stump. I will take my wings to the city. A raccoon crosses the broken tree bridge. A turkey crosses. A porcupine. I cross it. I don't tell Father about the little people crossing. I don't believe they believe they're little.
Here, take this.
What color will the city be? Blue. They all say it's blue. Gray blue. Black and blue.
Angelic, transcendent, pure, uncorrupted. Yep, that's me. I'm all of those things. I've been practicing.
The sun on the back of my legs. I wave to the geese. I met the last butterfly. I rode him like a horse. We galloped to the moon. It wasn't far enough. I will take my wings to the city. I will wait for the great machines to roll by and then step off.
The Virgin leads the children along the dappled edge of the Gilda field.
I will wait for the great machines to roll by and then step off the curb. languid knees, languid wings, languid elbows, languid light through the trees. I will paint them all.
That was The Portrait Painter's Youngest Daughter by Brian Price, featuring the voice of Irene Ruderman Clark. The musical selections are from the University of California, Santa Barbara's Cylinder Audio Archive. Those are mostly recorded back around the turn of the previous century. And this piece was first heard as part of the Electroacoustical Poetical Society's Audio Art Series, an episode called Languido, where the detritus of history spirals into our present. If you want to find more of that music from the old cylinders, or listen to the Electroacoustical Poetical Society's full episode, I will put links to those on the show notes for this program. You can find that at the Archives for Sound Effects, a Radio Playground on kfai.org. They're also listed on the sound effects schedule. You can find that by going to greatnorthernaudio.com. And on the left, there's a link to sound effects at KFAI. You'll find the schedule there and just look for this program that lists this show, and I'll have links to it there. If you want to make suggestions or comments or requests, you can always write to me at soundeffects@greatnorthernaudio.com. Sound effects is one word with an A on effects. soundeffects@greatnorthernaudio.com. Phew, I'm Jerry Stearns, and you have been listening to Sound Effects, a Radio Playground, modern audio theater on the radio. Why don't you stick around for a little while, though? If you like some music, Abby's Room for One has it, and she'll be playing it right up until midnight on Fresh Air Radio. Join us again next week for more modern audio theater and comedy on Sound Effects, a Radio Playground, here on Fresh Air Radio.
Support for KFAI comes from the Parkway Theater and Lounge, presenting Beau Soleil avec Michael Doucet, Tuesday, March 10th. For over 50 years, Michael Doucet and Beau Soleil have been mainstays on the Cajun music scene. With a distinctive sound distilled from New Orleans jazz, blues, rock, folk, country, swamp pop, and zydeco, Beau Soleil brings Cajun spice to every song. More information about Beau Soleil avec Michael Doucet at the Parkway is available at theparkwaytheater.com.
In recognition of the freedom of speech protections on the First Amendment and the FCC's relaxed policy on late night and overnight language, this KFAI program may include song lyrics that some listeners might find objectionable. Listener discretion is advised.
Sometimes you get what you need.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, 90.3 FM Minneapolis, going out to the stratosphere, or on the web at www.kfai.org, or catch this train wreck for the next 2 weeks. It's archived. This is Abby's Room for One Radio. You're at the end of your week, or the beginning of the next one, or somewhere in the middle, because our work weeks never end, but rock, well, that never dies. Here's some stuff.
She hasn't got a heart and she hasn't got a soul. Said that she is not the heart of one. I love her and believe her, but I never could retrieve her. If we have to believe her by now. But when the time has come to go, I truly lost my dad. I'm all important.
It's only